The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with a big story of the day.
Sorry about that. Just finishing off my piece of pie. What's happening, Nate Jackson?
Not a whole lot, D-Mac. What's up?
Good to see you.
Getting some pizza out of your teeth.
I know. Yummy.
Pepperoni.
Yeah, this is a fringe benefit around here. People just bring us copious amounts of free food, which is... All right, we're lucky, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think two or three out of the 5 days this week, I've walked in and smelled food.
I know.
It's great.
It's a bit ridiculous. I mean, to the point where we're so arrogant that we're like,
where's the food?
Where's the food today? I'm glad you're here. I don't know if you were catching the boys in the morning show. Mike Evans was on a luxurious cruise for a week, and now he's like going skiing in Steamboat. So he leads quite the lifestyle, that Mike Evans. And so when Mike's not around, you know, Mark just kind of, you know, Mark's an awesome guy. You know, he does whatever. But when Mike's around, he's obsessed with me.
What do you mean?
Oh, my God. It's just so ridiculous.
Like in a stalker kind of way? Like
it feels like it.
Hanging out outside your window.
Yeah, it's kind of insane. The basic premise is what the Broncos... Excuse me. Lord. Sorry. What the Broncos did last year in the draft, which, you know, we'll see what they do this year. So, Bradley Chubb was an interesting story last year. Because nobody saw him coming to the Broncos. Including the Denver Broncos. They had several practice mock drafts. He never popped up in any of their scenarios. He... was never brought in here for an interview, despite him being, you know, one of the top candidates. They never felt the need to bring him in and just chat him up a little bit. And people after the draft are like, oh, well, it was just a smokescreen from the Broncos, which of course is ridiculous. You don't need to smokescreen the number 5 overall pick. You don't need to fool anybody.
Why not?
There's no point. There's no purpose to it.
What if you're trying to fool the number 4 pick?
What do you mean? Into what?
I don't know. I mean, just...
He's Bradley Chubb. He's like the number one rated defensive player in the entire draft.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody knows he's really good. What was surprising last year is Cleveland with the number 4 overall pick, everybody just assumed, you know, he'd be going to that team.
Right.
And then they drafted Denzel Ward, which caught everybody kind of by surprise. I mean, everybody, including the Broncos. And this is where, we run this promo about, you know, they got their... they caught with their pants on the ground.
Pants on the ground. Pants on the ground.
Looking like a fool with your pants on the ground. And what I meant by that is that the draft picking of Bradley Chubb just was never part of a plan. I mean, you're picking at number 5. What's your plan?
You don't think they had a plan to do that?
No, they admitted they didn't have a plan to do it.
It was like, oh, this guy's here.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of a broader strategy that you hear a lot of coaches echo. Best available player. We're going to take the best available guy. He's going to help our team win no matter what.
Yeah. Well, okay. Then why did you... All right. Here's the deal. You have Von Miller, who's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You have a number one draft pick in Shane Ray, who at the end of the day, I guess they didn't really like. But still, you had him on the team and you used a number one pick to get him. You also have Shaquille Barrett. You have 3 outstanding outside pass rushers, and 2 of them are first-round picks already. So, there wasn't a huge need last year for that position, especially when you look at the depth of pass rushers this year. And somebody was, you know, hit me up on Twitter. Oh, Bradley Chubb would be the best out of the guys this year. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe, but to what degree is he better than all the guys that are coming out this year? I mean, is it really, like, that unbelievable? And then the concept is, well, you just want to take any quarterback. And no, what I want to do is take the best available quarterback when you don't have a quarterback. And the Broncos didn't have a quarterback. They had Case Keenum. They didn't really have a quarterback.
But they didn't know that.
They should have known that. Well, they did know that.
But no one really knew it until it revealed itself,
Nate, they
right?
They gave him a two-year deal.
Yeah, I know, but they believed that he was going to get it done. That's why they brought him here.
Did they, though?
Well, yeah,
if they really,
why didn't they
give him more than a two-year deal? They gave Joe Flacco a three, well.
Because it was a prove-it type of thing, but based on what they had seen from him the previous year.
Well, then it's a prove-it type of thing. They
but it was
really
promising enough to bring it in.
Fine.
And I mean, when you first got here, they liked you. They thought you were going to be great, but did they give you a 20-year deal right off the bat?
No, one-year deal. I had to prove it.
And you did.
And then the next year, I got another one-year deal.
Right.
Had to do it all over again.
Right.
Rightfully so. Who the hell was I?
And
frankly, who am I right now?
And if you had sucked, they would have parted ways and changed their plan, right?
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, so why is that any different with football teams?
Because you have a fifth year guaranteed on first round guys. It's cheaper in the long run to keep a guy in the first round than draft a guy in the second round. He turns into a star and he can go into free agency and it's going to cost you an arm and a leg to keep him. So you can franchise guys for two more years after that fifth year option. So if you draft a quarterback, for example, you basically can keep a quarterback for 7 years and you don't have to worry about losing him. It's a big deal, and you can only do that by drafting a guy in the first round. So the morning guys are cute because they want to say it's comical listening to them. And people are saying, why are you bringing it up? I wasn't bringing it up. I have moved on. I mean, significantly moved on. But I'm listening to my homeboys in the morning, and they can't get over it because now they're admitting Baker Mayfield's good. Oh, you should have heard these guys, how terrible Baker Mayfield was and how they couldn't stand Baker Mayfield. And Stink actually got into like a one-on-one back and forth with Baker Mayfield.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It was all sorts of stuff like that, like Twitter sort of stuff.
And you were on the Baker Mayfield train.
Early. Because in the beginning, Baker Mayfield was projected to like as a second-round guy.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God. What a steal.
So did you think he was the best quarterback in the draft last year?
Yes, I did. But I also really liked Sam Darnold. I also really liked Josh Allen. I also really liked Josh Rosen. And I really liked Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And what I compare last year to, Nate, is 1983. Do you think there's any Miami Dolphin fans who would rather have Jim Kelly than Dan Marino?
Maybe.
Really?
I mean, Jim Kelly took him to a bunch of Super Bowls.
So Dan Marino took him. So you really think there's Miami Dolphin fans who would say, okay, you could have Jim Kelly or Dan Marino, and they would take Jim Kelly. Really?
Maybe.
Okay. That's interesting. I disagree with you.
Well,
do you think there's Bills fans who would rather have Dan Marino than Jim Kelly?
Probably. It probably goes both ways, man.
Dude.
There's always disenchanted.
I lived in Buffalo for 5.5 years. There's single Bills fan who would rather have Dan Marino than Dan. There are Broncos fans who would rather have Jim Kelly or Dan Marino over John Elway?
No.
Of course not.
No. Well, the reason why I did the Jim Kelly Marino thing is because Marino's the guy who never made it to the Super Bowl.
Made it to one Super Bowl.
That's the big knock on him.
Yeah, well, neither Jim Kelly went to four, didn't win one.
Yeah,
John went to five, won two.
Yeah.
The point is, you can... Where'd you go for lunch today?
Urban Egg.
Urban Egg. Okay. Why didn't you go to the Egg and I?
Because Urban Egg was right downstairs from where I'm staying.
All right, what about Modern Kitchen?
I don't know.
Or Mod Market. Was it a Mod Market?
Mod Market, because I wanted breakfast, man.
Okay. Why didn't you go to IHOP or La Peep or...
Because we all have choices in this world and we have to make one.
Right. But, you know, if you had gone to breakfast at La Peep, it probably would have been okay.
Correct.
Right? If you had breakfast at the Egg and I instead of the Urban Egg, it probably would have been okay.
I'm sure it would have.
Do you have one favorite TV, one favorite band? Is it just, this is it?
No.
I just like one band? So the possibility that you could have multiple good players at the same position in a draft clearly exists.
Yes.
Okay.
That was quite a
wind up there.
Yeah,
right?
Well. Yeah.
So their rip on me is, you say take any quarterback. And I say, no. Here are the five guys that stand out to me. We needed first of all, you don't need to take a quarterback if you already have a quarterback. And the most successful NFL teams, Nate, they have like a 10-year plan, not a 3-year plan. The Chicago Bears have a 10-year plan with Mitch Trubisky. The Rams have a 10-year plan with Jared Goff. The Bills have a 10-year plan for Josh Allen. Yada, yada, yada.
When you say 10 years, what do you mean? They'll be best on year 10 or they'll be good for all 10?
You're our guy for 10 years.
Right. But what if he sucks in two? You know, what if he falls
then
off?
Then you screwed up.
Right. Which but happens all the time.
Percentage-wise, let me tell you, percentage-wise, the higher you draft a quarterback in the first round, the more likely you are to have success for a long period of time. I'm not saying you can't find a quarterback like Russell Wilson, who you get in the third round, who's going to be there for, of course.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. Love that example.
I mean,
let's use the Tom Brady.
Why not?
Sure. Let's draft all our quarterbacks in the sixth round.
I'm just saying. Diamonds in the rough, D-Mac.
And then let's make sure our real starter gets hurt. And then we put in that. Wait, we did try that. Trevor Siemian. How'd that go? Not good. And by the way, this is why you stay away from the Bermuda Triangle of quarterbacks in the 20s. Because you're already a playoff team. You shouldn't need a quarterback. If you draft a quarterback in the 20s, it's panic. I got it.
Aaron Rodgers,
Dan Marino. I got it. There's always exceptions.
To every rule, man. There actually are no tried and true rules in drafting NFL
There's
players.
There's probabilities of success. And if you... So what I figured out with Mike Evans, for example, is that he doesn't want to ever draft a first-round quarterback.
Mm.
Except when I listened this morning, and now Baker Mayfield's great. Now Baker Mayfield's great, everybody.
Shame on you, Mike Evans.
Now he's great. So by that logic that you didn't think he was going to be great, but he is great.
Well, he's not great yet.
According to Mike, he is. So Mike and Stink, he's already great.
Right.
I think he's great, too. But according to them, he's great. So by the logic that you were wrong there, you absolutely could be wrong on the other guys. It's just mind-numbing, these guys. Because they're trying to spin, like, why it made more sense to draft Bradley Chubb than a quarterback. Nate, in your expert opinion as an NFL player, who's more important, a pass rusher or a quarterback?
Probably a quarterback.
Probably a quarterback?
Yeah, probably, because I hesitate to say this guy is more important than this guy, because I know when you have a team, every guy is important. And when you're in the locker room, the quarterback's not more important than the other guy. Everybody is important. And so sometimes we place too much value on the quarterback, and it's all about the quarterback's number, the QBR, what his... No, dude, it's about the team. And the quarterback's numbers are a reflection of the performance of the entire team.
Okay.
Often, like, you know.
We had Emmanuel Sanders in here last week, and I asked him why the team had done poorly in the past three seasons and missed the playoffs, and he said it was all because of the quarterback.
I get it, man. Well, because he's a receiver, he wants more balls.
Yeah, reasonably so. So,
I just don't want to diminish the value of all the other positions.
But you already said it's the quarterback's more important. You did just say that. So the question is, to what degree is the quarterback more important than the other positions? Is he a little bit more important? Is he a lot more important? Is it really equal? Like when the Broncos say, we like three guys, Sam Darnold, Bradley Chubb, and Saquon Barkley. Well, okay. So which of those guys, how can they all be equal? Now, I'd make the argument there's a lot of positions that are probably equally as important. For example, what's more important, a tackle or a pass rusher?
50-50, man.
They're probably
They're
about the same.
They're mirror images.
That's right. What's more important, a running back or a tight end?
Probably running back.
Okay. By a lot or a little?
By a little.
What's more important, a corner or a safety? Probably a corner, but maybe just by a little. You never know. Depends on the situation, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And you can just play this game as much as you actually want. So then you get into, well, what do you really need? But the problem is, when you need a quarterback, Nate, the vacuum is it's ridiculous. I mean, it's over the top. So the problem with everybody who was all about, you know, drafting Bradley Chubb, first of all, it wasn't a plan. And there were other options as well, even without a quarterback. For example, the Bills offered their two first-round picks for that number five pick. Now you get into a quirky situation. What's more valuable, Bradley Chubb or Vita Vea, a defensive tackle, nose tackle, and Will Hernandez, a guard? Because now you could get two guys who are both going to be starters in two positions of need who are both really good. So now what's more important, a pass rusher, when you already have three of them, including two first-rounders already, or a starting nose tackle and a guard that you may have for a long period of time with a fifth-year option, with the possibility of getting franchise tag that you could hang on to? This isn't even about a quarterback. This is about how do you get best value, and you have to understand the Broncos turned this deal down. It was offered to them, and they turned it down.
What was the specific deal that was offered?
The Bills had two first-round picks, I believe 13 and 22.
And where'd you pull those names from, the ones that you...
They're just the guys that were drafted and valued around that area. We knew that they were interested in Will Hernandez, the guard. He had been in for interviews. They had coached him at the Senior Bowl. Vita Vea, we knew the Broncos needed a defensive tackle, nose tackle sort of guy. They've just let Pecco go. They signed Shelby Harris and Zach Kerr recently to sort of fill that role. So we just knew. I mean, it didn't have to be Vita Vea. It could have been a cornerback, for example, at 13. You could just look at last year's draft and see the players that were kind of right around that area. They're all great players. I mean, who's the safety? Not Denzel Ward. The safety, Derwin James was an all-pro player. I think he was drafted around 15 or something like that. You know, there were guys, great guys.
Those two guys you mentioned, how did they do in their rookie year?
Great. Great. Both of them did great. Now, when I listen to the Morning Fellas, Mark Schlereth has already said, first of all, Mark's great. Mark's awesome. He just comes on and says, I don't pay attention to college football. So he's just jumping on to Mike, because Mike wants to, you know, figure out the greatest way to find a backup quarterback in rounds 2 through 4. But then Mike says, oh, no. Anybody past round 4, you don't touch. And it's a coin flip in the first round, but Baker Mayfield's really good. And, yeah, I'd really like Jake Fromm last year, but that's it for first round guys.
Wait, but what's wrong with Mike watching and learning and changing his mind based on new information?
Nothing. It just drives me nuts because, you know...
You should feel vindicated.
Oh, I'm totally vindicated. I mean, it's totally...
You seem angry about it.
It just bugs the hell out of me.
Why are you telling me I'm right?
It just... So, Mark's already said that he would like Quentin Nelson, a guard, who the Colts were at 3. They traded with the Jets. The Jets traded up for 3. Guess why the Jets traded 3? Take a wild guess.
Because they wanted, what's-his-face?
Sam Darnold, you're right. They wanted a quarterback.
Ding.
Rolling. Ding. Thank you. Thank you, Steve Jobs. Thank you. So, Mark's already said he would rather have had Quentin Nelson than Bradley Chubb. And then it's an interesting thing. It's all about, like, sacks. Sacks are an interesting stat. Because Bradley Chubb had 12 sacks last year. But sacks are quirky. Sometimes sacks can be like the most unbelievable thing. They can shift the momentum of a game. They can turn the ball over. And in the most dynamic impact is like a sack, fumble, recovery, touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that basically won the Super Bowl for the Broncos.
Yeah.
The Broncos were leading 3-0, and they got a sack by Vaughn, and this is absolutely why he deserved the MVP, in the Super Bowl, in the biggest stage possible. Vaughn got the most valuable play you could possibly get as a defensive player. He forced a sack, fumble. He didn't recover it. Malik Jackson recovered it, but who cares? That resulted in a touchdown. Won the Super Bowl for the Denver Broncos early and often because the Panthers were just, you know, clawing from behind down two scores. Really, really hard. But what if you get a sack and it's like the second quarter and it's second and six and the quarterback steps up in the pocket and he just kind of crumbles and falls down and it's a 1 yard sack and now it's third and seven?
Well, do they stop him on third and seven? Those are the analytics.
And then the next on third and seven, the guy throws for 15 yards and it's a first
down. So are you aware of the sequence of events that followed Bradley Chubb's sacks?
I have. That's what I asked for. I was like, we got to find out what the value of these sacks are. So we got them. I haven't, you know, Kyle did a good job printing them out. And, you know, let me study it for a little bit. But when you want to evaluate, you know, the statistics, Nate, in my opinion, you've got to put them in context.
It sounds like you're trying to diminish Bradley Chubb.
I'll look at these. And if these were all
12 sacks is it kind of speaks for itself. It's not easy to get sacks in the NFL. Now, of course, Von Miller's on the other side. So there's a little bit of focus on that other side on Von, which kind of has left Bradley with, you know.
I don't think there's any debate that Bradley Chubb is a great player. I just think, like, how do you evaluate a great offensive guard?
Well, there are a variety of metrics there.
Variety of metrics.
Yeah.
Complicated, though. It doesn't really stand out to you. But is there any debate that Quentin Nelson is a great guard? No. Is there any debate the Broncos have struggled in this department? No, there's no debate about it. They have definitely struggled in this department, and they're looking to replace it. They also, now that they lost Matt Paradis, might need a center. So again, when I'm talking about the Broncos in the draft this year, Nate, you can sit there at 10 and do absolutely nothing and just draft the best player available, I guess. That's the auto draft. That's how I won my championship trophy over there. It's nothing wrong with auto draft. You're going to get a good player. But you're not going to do anything really dynamic for your team. You're going to be okay. But because the Broncos drafts have been so poor, when they just sort of sat there in auto draft last year, and everybody thought like Bradley Chubb was a plan, which he wasn't, everybody wants to give the Broncos this incredible credit for what I don't even know.
Do you have confirmation that he was never on their radar?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, everybody's on their radar, but, like, their level of interest, they had mock drafts, and they never envisioned a scenario where he would be there. And they did not. They have 30. Think about this for a second. They have 30 visits. 30. And they didn't invite him in for a visit. Why? Because that was a smokescreen? No, come on.
Maybe they knew all they needed to know.
Yeah, they didn't think he was going to be there.
Right.
Because nobody saw Denzel Ward going in front of Bradley Chubb. They really just didn't do their jobs. And then there he is. And this is, it must have been an interesting war room for the Broncos. Because you already saw the Jets move ahead of a switch with the Colts. So if you really wanted Sam Darnold, for example, why didn't you make a deal with the Colts and move from 5 to 3? The Chicago Bears moved from 3 to 2 to get Mitch Trubisky. He just sat there and was like, oh, look at what the Jets did. That's fun.
Well, they probably didn't want him.
No, they said they wanted him. They said the three guys they wanted were Sam Darnold, Bradley Chubb, and Saquon Barkley. I mean, I know they could be fibbing.
They got one of them.
Now they did. Right, right. And that goes to what's the value of a rusher compared to a quarterback? And obviously, it's higher if you don't have a quarterback, or it's higher if you really don't have a quality pass rusher. And let me point out again, the Broncos had 3 quality pass rushers. Von Miller, Hall of Famer, future. Shaquille Barrett, who was an up-and-comer, and Shane Ray, who was a first-round guy. Okay, I feel better. I'm sorry. I just had to get that off my chest a little bit. And we'll look at sacks and have a good time and relax. But this year, the funniest thing that's going on, Nate, is this whole quarterback miss that's happening. Zach Bye, proper credit. I got to footnote that every time I say quarterback missed. But I do love that expression. Because now you're bringing 4 guys in, and it probably is a complete smokescreen. But then again, if they draft a quarterback this year, I won't be surprised. Because they literally could do anything, because they're so unpredictable.
That can be an asset.
And there's another mock out there today, and you won't believe who this guy has the Broncos drafting. We'll tell you next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
C-Mac with Nate Jackson. Let's talk to Michael quick before we tell you this latest mock draft funness. Hi, Michael. You're on The Fan.
Gentlemen, how are you doing?
Super. What's good. Happening?
Besides John Elway and, like, his drinking buddies is how I would like to label them, has the draft trust, we'll say, changed from last year other than Gary Kubiak?
No. It's a good question. Like, despite all the changes that have happened with coaches and players and everything else, there has not been one significant change in the personnel department.
And, like, not even scouts or any of that.
I think they might have lost somebody, but, you know, the more or less everybody who, well, Gary Kubiak, I guess, you know, he's gone.
That's it. And I think that's it. So
yeah.
I guess we'll see the significance of his departure again.
Well, you know, John sat up there with Matt Russell and said, you know, in the Case Keenum deal or last year's draft, you know, Matt's his right-hand man. So that hasn't changed. Thank you for Michael. I appreciate it. I see where you're going. Okay. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Michael. Guys.
Thanks.
Yeah. It's one of those things, Nate, like I'll still say one of the more remarkable moments of the entire off season is that after the season was over, it was John Elway announcing Vance Joseph had been fired. And it wasn't Joe Ellis up there announcing Vance Joseph and John Elway were fired. To think that Elway just, like, automatically got to keep his job after what had happened over the past 3 years is, you know, it's pretty amazing.
You don't think those Super Bowls give him some equity there?
Apparently they've given him a lot of equity.
But you don't agree that they should? Let's go back to the ratio.
No, I mean, go 9-7 after you win a Super Bowl. Sure. Okay, fine. Then you hire Vance Joseph, who has a history of at CU being a sexual predator on, you know, women there. You know, he wasn't arrested for it. There were no files charged. But
doesn't that matter?
I mean, you know, he's hireable. I just wouldn't hire him. I mean, it's not like, you know, you can't hire him. I just wouldn't. I mean, when a guy shows me that, you know, he's got a significant, you know, lack of character at that age of his life, I mean, I'm not saying the guy can't work or should go to jail or anything. I just wouldn't hire him to be a head coach, especially because he's never been a head coach before. And in fact, he was only a defensive coordinator for 1 year. I mean, I still to this day am flabbergasted by the hiring of Vance Joseph. I mean, I just don't get it. I didn't get it then.
Well, didn't
the story came out. I certainly didn't get keeping him. I didn't understand him being the coach ever for the 2 years that he was here.
Doesn't that kind of go in line with the trend of people hiring young guys who are kind of up and comers, who are personable, can relate to players, maybe not have a ton of experience, but, you know, are the cutting edge, the new guys. And they took a chance.
Was he? What was cutting edge about Vance
Joseph? He was young. And relatively inexperienced.
Such a terrible hire. And then they cut
ties with him. So they moved on, and they're learning from their mistakes. Can we ask anything more?
Sure. I mean, you know, usually you don't get a chance to hire four different head coaches, but, you know.
That's the NFL, dude.
John Fox, Coobs, VJ, Fangio. We're on four.
And three of those guys are venerable, old school. They've been around a long time and are all great hires.
Are they? Well, yeah.
Fox
was a great hire.
Yeah. Kubiak?
Kubiak was a great hire.
And now Fangio.
We'll see.
We will.
Hope so.
All right.
Never mind, like, you've got the best defensive coordinator in Wade Phillips. Pay him. But they didn't love Wade. They was like, you know, because Wade kind of walked around like, you know.
And that matters. Yeah, that matters.
He's king.
Yeah, you need chemistry. You need to feel comfortable with the guys you have, even if they have a great reputation. Yeah,
Wade's pretty good.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know he's good because I was watching him in the Super Bowl being a defensive coordinator. I was like, oh, that guy. I remember that guy.
Yeah, he's had a lot of success.
And the guy they replaced him with, Joe Woods, was just a terrible coach and kind of a creep. And
terrible?
Terrible creep. Coach. Yep, both those things.
Strong words.
Did you watch the San Francisco game? I mean, I'm throwing the did you watch George Kittle? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, George Kittle.
Great player.
You can't tell me you weren't just as good of a tight end as George Kittle.
Well, I mean, this guy's a really impressive specimen. He's probably immediately
Don't sell yourself short.
I know, but he's immediately one of the top five tight ends, probably. I mean, he led the league in yardage last year. Not just against the Broncos. He had a good season, man.
Yeah, we probably should have known he was going to, you know, maybe even want to watch him a little bit.
You can't just say, oh, this guy's good. Let's just stop him, you know? These are professionals who are also trying to beat you at the same time. You can't just put your thumb on them and think that you're just going to lay there.
Do you know the Broncos, and I'm forgetting his name, Kyle, the Broncos allowed like 300 yards of rushing to a running back for the Jets who got like 49 yards the rest of the year and has been by Isaiah Crowell. And I think he got 300 against the Broncos, 49 the rest of the
300.
Year.
300.
It was like 300, wasn't it? How many did Crowell run for? It was something like that. It was crazy. Yeah, they let him go. How many did Crowell have that game? Maybe it wasn't 300.
He's a good runner.
He got like 49 yards the rest of the year.
Maybe he wasn't used well.
Maybe the Broncos defense was completely ill-prepared for that particular matchup. 231 yards. Sorry, not 300.
Game.
But seriously, like 49 the rest of the year. And now he's with the Raiders. Dude, we had some.
You can't blame that on. Yeah. But look,
they're moving on.
They're moving on.
We've all moved on. What are we talking?
Come on.
Everything's roses and sunshine now.
Let those wounds heal, D-Mac. Let a scar, I'll let it go.
So if they draft a quarterback, this is where I was going. Peter Schrager from NFL Network has the Broncos in a mock draft taking Dwayne Haskins.
Well, what does Peter Schrager know?
Well, I don't know. Who knows? Who knows who any of these mock draft? But I got to say, of course I like that selection because it fits in beautifully to what I want them to do with Case Keenum. And I really like Dwayne Haskins. I really like Kyler Murray, but there's no way John Elway is, you know, going to draft a Smurf quarterback again. There's no way. But Haskins is awesome. Haskins would be great.
What about Drew Lock?
Yeah, I think Drew Lock would have been like the 7th, 8th quarterback drafted last year, something like that. I think Haskins would have been right up there. I think he would have been 3 or 4 somewhere right in that thing. I think Kyler Murray would have gone right after Baker Mayfield. I think he would have been 2nd. I think Rosen, Darnold, I mean, they'd all have been in there. So Haskins to me would be fantastic. Fantastic. I love to have Dwayne Haskins as a quarterback in waiting for the Broncos. But of course, that is completely against their win now moves that they've been making all offseason. So what's your plan? Are we winning now or are we planning for the future? If you say both, I'm gonna jump out the window.
You have to be able to
jump out the window.
You can't just do one or the other. Like you said, there's a lot of right answers for the same problem. And in that spirit, there are multiple ways that you could prepare for the future while preparing to win now. That's what they're doing, man. You should be proud.
I'm overall thrilled because Joe Woods is gone. Vance Joseph is gone. Case Keenum is gone. Bill Musgrave is gone. I mean, they've got rid of a lot of dead wood. And so, yeah, I like Joe Flacco more than Case Keenum. They didn't draft a quarterback anyway, so you're way behind in terms of development. I like the quarterback class next year way more than I like it this year. So I don't really care because I know what it's all about. Everybody's got like 3 years left on their contracts, including a shift in ownership. There's a CBA coming up in 2021. Hey, whatever. Let's go. Let's party like it's 1999.
No, let's win. Let's win now and let's win later.
Well, we'll wait. Worry about later.
Right. Exactly.
But if we're sitting here in 2021 and the Broncos just win like 2-14, okay? Let's just say, you know, we could have seen that coming as well.
That won't happen.
I like your optimism. When we come back, Pedro Gomez. Will the Rockies go 162-0? We'll break it down with Pedro Gomez next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Opening day was yesterday, the Rockies and the Marlins. Later on this afternoon, Pedro Gomez joins us, our ESPN Major League Baseball insider. It's DMAC with Nate Jackson. Pedro, thanks for being on with us.
Absolutely, fellas. Great to be here.
What are your, it's opening day, so who knows, but your opening day takeaways, not only with the Rockies, but baseball in general?
You know what, more so than anything with the Rockies, as well as any of the upper echelon clubs, if you're playing a club that is not expected to do well, you better beat them at least two out of every three games, because that's how you end up with 90, 95 wins over the course of a season. And so, yeah, you're playing the Marlins. The Marlins might very well be the worst club in the National League. I mean, it'll probably be them, maybe the San Francisco Giants, but you better beat up on them, because you've got to fatten your schedule over the course of 162. So very good start. I think Kyle Freeland pitching very well is a really good sign that, you know, he wants to continue what he did last year and add on to that. And I know when I talked to him during spring training, that was absolutely his mindset, that he wants to show he's here for the long haul.
What adjustments do you see teams making in light of how the Red Sox won the World Series last year in terms of, we're going to mix the lineup up, we're going to mix the positions up, we're going to mix everything up?
You know, the Red Sox have they're an interesting ball club, because they probably have the best outfield in all of baseball. You know, you take Benintendi, you take Jackie Bradley Jr. and Mookie Betts. I don't think that any other outfield, left field, center field, right field, ranks up above them. So they have a great lineup. They got very good pitching over the course of the season. And, again, that's a club that was able to beat up on inferior teams throughout the season, and that's how they ended up with 108 wins. So match up with the Red Sox and what they were able to do last year, because that the roster configuration they had last season was so spot on. I mean, there were no real deficiencies in that lineup. Yeah, their catchers may not be the greatest hitters, but they didn't need them to be. You could fit them in the number 9 hole in the American League. And, you know, you have J.D. Martinez, who's another outfielder, but he was DHing. So it's a really powerful lineup. I think if anybody tried to say, let's copy them, it's going to be really difficult, because you just don't have the roster to do it.
Anything surprise you yesterday on opening day, Pedro?
I'm really kind of surprised at the fact that the San Francisco Giants added 5 players during the final week of spring training to their major league roster, guys that they had either picked up off the waiver wire or traded for. That's never, ever a good sign. So that's surprising that a franchise of that caliber is reaching those depths, so to speak. In other terms, but I mean, Chris Sale getting tattooed the way he did up in Seattle, you know, I don't think anybody expects the Red Sox to win 108 games again and run away the way they did last year. But you do think that Chris Sale is not going to get lit up the way he did against a club in Seattle that traded away a lot of their assets over the winter and is not expected to be one of the better teams in the American League. But again, it's one game. You know, unlike football, where 16 games, boy, you get beat up in game one, that can really hurt you. Everybody has 161 more to go.
We have some local interest here for Greg Bird, because he went to Grandview High School, local guy. But it looks like he's in kind of an interesting battle there in New York. Pedro, what's shaking down there in New York at that particular position?
Yeah, I mean, look, first base is it's a position in flux with the Yankees. And, Greg Bird probably had the opportunity at the beginning of spring training to grab it. And you know, the Yankees say, okay, you're back, you're healthy, it's yours. But the Yankees don't operate that way. The Yankees always have safety nets all all over the place, mm-hmm. just in case things go bad.
Right.
And they're, you know, they're a ball club that can afford to do that. So that's why, you know, Greg Bird's going to have to continue to prove himself on a daily, weekly basis in order to keep that position, because there's not a lot of patience that goes on in the city of New York, in the Bronx, with that franchise. And you know, the organization saying, okay, we're going to give him time to, you know, get his feet under him. And they just don't believe in that. You've got to produce. If you produce, you get more leash. But you've got to produce. And I don't know that Greg has shown that yet over the course of a full major league season, so to speak.
Did you laugh a little bit that, what, Machado didn't have a hit, Harper didn't have a hit? I mean, was it just, I mean, it's baseball, so you got a lot of at-bats, but it's kind of funny, wasn't it?
A little bit, especially, you know, I was at Petco Park. That was my opening day assignment. Okay. And it was just so funny that he struck out in the first inning, and as he's walking back to the dugout, the crowd still gave him a reception. That's how invested they are in him. And I say it's surprising only because he doesn't have any credit built up in that city yet. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, in Baltimore he's done so many great things. Yeah, he strikes out, okay, hey, he's still our guy. But in this case, it tells you how much Padre fans are invested in him, and they absolutely know that he could be the linchpin that could propel them to better things. So, you know, Bryce Harper, hey, look, it's one game.
Right.
And that's why they call it a batting average. It's the average for the entire season.
All right, great stuff, Pedro. We look forward to talking to you all season, and thanks for coming on.
Absolutely, guys. Take care.
Pedro Gomez from ESPN. Yeah, Goldschmidt, Harper, Machado. Who needs hits? Nolan was 1-for-5. Had a double, but all these guys got... How'd Trout do? I don't even know how Trout did. He probably got a hit. He probably did something. Baseball. Gotta love it. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Sure is.
All right, football at 4 is next.